Raise your hands at this time if you do not want to hear verbally the minority report. If you do not want to hear it, you just want to read it.
This is not. Do not want to hear it.
Okay, and how many didn't want to hear it?
Wait a minute.
How many votes are we going to?
Ladies and gentlemen, this should not be this complicated, so I'm going to simplify this. Raise your hand at this time. As soon as I say raise your hand, if you want the minority member of that committee to verbally explain the minority point right now. Raise your hand if you want to hear that verbally right now. Raise your hand if you want to hear the minority member give the minority report.
No, it's not
written.
It's written.
No. 10. Now, raise your hand if you do not want to hear verbally the minority report at this time, but only want to read it. Raise your hand.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9.
10 to 9. We will get the minority report.
I have a point of personal privilege. Several of us indicated that we had to leave at 4. There's 30 minutes for listener comment. It means that we will, that actually you probably will lose your quorum when it comes time to vote.
Exactly. That's true. We have a ruling. We are not going to hear the minority report, but we will read it. It will be submitted to the board by the minority member. All right, we're going to go now to... Excuse me. One moment.
We voted to read it.
All right, just a moment now. There seems... Oh, I stand corrected. I am so sorry. I misunderstood. My apologies. I thought it was 10 to 9 not to hear it. All right, one moment. Very, very quickly. One moment then. I have to call order. I have to apologize. I misunderstood the vote. It was 10 to 9 to hear the minority report. So.
Point of information.
All right, just a moment. Not until the body is in order. One moment. Not until the body is in order.
We're at time.
Okay. The body is now in order, and we're going to go to Margaret.
That vote was taken before I suspect there are others on the board, knew that come at a certain time, we are not going to have a quorum. So it means that most of the business that we're to vote on in today's meeting will not take place. And instead, what we're going to hear is a minority report. Frankly, I think that has been a waste of our time when there are lots of issues that we have to vote on, and that vote will not be possible today.
I have a point of information.
One moment.
I suggest you call the order.
Call everyone out of order. Everyone is out of order until I call on you. I'm sorry.
I have a point of order.
If there is someone, I know, but just so we are clear.
I have a point of order, Don.
Yeah, one moment, Harrison. One moment. Just so everyone is clear, a motion to reconsider would have to be made by someone from the prevailing side if we were going to
call the orders of the day.
Now, out of courtesy to Harrison, whom I did ask to be patient, we're going to go to Harrison for some.
You just say it.
The bylaws say that if there's a quorum and
orders have been called,
I call the orders of the day.
All right. The orders of the day actually mean we must move to the next agenda item. It puts the chair in an odd position because the body has decided to hear the minority report, and now it's being bludgeoned into moving ahead.
It would require a point of order. It would require a two-thirds.
I'm going to ask for order. Because the calling of the orders of the day really do take us to the next orders, I'm going to have to respect that.
Just because you called it.
No, I didn't, Lauren.
I called it.
Margaret called orders of the day. Well, Lawrence, this is the situation we find ourselves in. Calling the orders of the day takes us to a time certain. Lawrence, you're being very difficult because I can't outshout you, obviously. And
You're amplifying
the time.
So I'm going to make a ruling. I'm just going to make a ruling that will not make some people happy. Because the orders of the day have been called, and because the agenda was accepted with time certain, orders of the day, we are going to go to the...
The motion to extend is in order.
Let me explain. Let me see if I can explain, and then I'll take some comments from the board. My impression is that all committees have submitted, we have six motions that we are not going to act on until after public comment. We want public comment. Our next order of business is really the election. The election of secretary and treasurer, because you will recall that the board voted to realign this agenda and take item 13 up after the reports of committees. So I'm going to just be very arbitrary and say, having accepted the motions and resolutions of the committees, we're now going to the election of secretary and treasurer of the board. Now, if someone wants to appeal the decision of the chair, they
point of privilege.
That's my
timekeeper. Point of privilege is timekeeper. We have 8 minutes in this agenda item, so if anybody doesn't want what just happened to happen to this, I suggest.
Wait, I'm not understand what you're saying. Are you talking about the
election?
Given
the orders of the day, according to the orders of the day, we have 8 more minutes to complete the item of the election of the treasurer without a motion to extend that agenda item. That's what I'm telling people. So that in 8 minutes, if somebody called the orders of the day, that would be over unless we have a motion.
Okay, and then we'll deal with extension. Okay, I want to direct people to a document that's on the other side of some of the agendas. It was posted on the lab website. It lists the candidates for secretary and treasurer. It does not mean the nominations are closed.
Oh, thank you. Oh, can I ever use that? Thank you.
At this point, all right, now, Margaret.
A point of information, again, concerned about the time constraint that we are under, and also public, you know, public comment. I know that we have already addressed the order of the agenda, but again, we do have some new information, and I really am concerned that the motion about the composition of the LSB committees, we've just discussed the committees, this is in relation to the committees, and I am concerned that this will now come at a time on the agenda that we won't be able to vote on it, and I'm just wondering, I'm asking for advice on that. I mean, is there something that we can do about it? I think it will be a relatively quick item to address. It's not going to take me a lot of time to put forward, and I'm wondering that if we could entertain it perhaps even after we've discussed the elections before we go to public comment. That way we can get a vote on it today. Here it is. I see you shifting through your papers.
No, no. I understand what you're talking about, but take a concrete motion. If you're making a motion to alter the agenda, is that what you're doing?
I suppose I am, and I mean, I hate to do it, but at this stage, given the time constraints, I would really like to do it. I think this is a matter that could be disposed of in, frankly, just a few minutes.
Nothing can be disposed of in a few minutes.
Oh, this one I think can. Let's all try. Make the effort.
All right, we would have to have a motion to alter the agenda, and it would have to take a two-thirds vote. So if you want to make a motion to do so, the member is free to do so, or we're going to move ahead with elections.
I would like to do so, Don.
This is out of order.
Yeah. You're not making a motion.
Well, I think it is important to move on to the elections, and I don't want to take time for that, but what I would like to do, perhaps when we're done with that, is to entertain moving this agenda item up following the election.
Let's have elections and public comment, and then I think we need... Well, you can enter your motion any time you want, but hearing no motion, we're going to go to
election.
I'm
here. I'm trying to make a motion to extend the time for the elections of the Secretary secretary and treasurer, which is now probably down to 3 minutes, which is not enough.
No, we understand that. I don't think you understood what I said, Harrison. We're going to begin this agenda item. We know we can't do it in 3 minutes. I was going to ask for an extension when we are out of time, but if you want to, Harrison, make a motion to extend the time for elections right now with the amount of time that you're interested in, do so. How much?
I'd like there to be a total of 20 minutes, and I think we're going to need some discussion of the procedure which is by which the we're going to discuss the election.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second, but I'd like a clarification. 20 minutes from now or 20 minutes in addition to what we have?
Harrison, may I ask if you could make this a total agenda item of 20 minutes? Would you be willing to start with that? You can change it later, but could you
I'm just trying to create consensus and move on here quickly.
Yeah, okay, so, I think we can get that. All right.
20 minutes.
Now, I'm going to bring the board to order. If you will give us your attention here. It's been moved and seconded that we make the election of officers a total of 20 minutes as it originally appeared. Those in favor of doing that, would you raise your hands? Yes. Well, that's up to the body.
Just a moment. Wait, please. You need to repeat the question. Some people didn't hear it. Please, redo this.
Okay. What we just voted to do was to create an agenda item starting right now, 20 minutes, to elect our permanent secretaries, our permanent secretary, and our permanent treasurer. Now, I want to point out that this agenda item is starting now. We have 20 minutes. I want to make sure there are no further nominations. Those nominated at the present time are Margot Iser and Terry Goodman for secretary, and Lerner Goody, Casey McFall, and Simon Wyatt for treasurer. Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
One of the nominees is not present.
Okay. We did try to really, you know, inform people this would occur today. So the body will have to decide whether that impacts on our moving ahead. Are there any other nominations for secretary? Seeing none, we'll declare the nominations closed for secretary. Are there any other nominations for treasurer? Seeing none, we will declare the nominations closed for treasurer, and these are the five nominees. There is a process that the structure committee came up with that was designed to be fair and treat all candidates equally. I think because we're going to deal with secretary first, I'm going to ask Terry, what is it? Yeah, I'm going to ask Terry to, could you actually move to the listener sponsor area?
Don, I don't think it's proper for you for the structure committee to dictate what the process is going
to
be.
Okay, we're going to actually discuss that. Yeah, no, the last thing on earth we want are dictators in the Pacific community. We do not want that, so we're going to give everyone a chance. But I think the process should be explained.
I understand the process. It's already...
Yeah, okay. So...
But the board hasn't accepted it, and I think it's awful.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, the board has not accepted the process, so this is the problem. Candidates are going to be asked to leave the room while one candidate speaks to us so that no candidate is speaking in the presence of other candidates. Before we ask anyone to leave the room, I think the structure committee then should explain the proposed process, and then we'll try to move ahead. Is it Jan?
The structure committee was in a very tight situation, having been allocated 20 minutes for this very important election, and that was because we had so many things on the agenda. Being having only 20 minutes, we made the recommendation that the following would occur, that copies of everything that each of the candidates had published with regard to their candidacy to the LSB would be put together and distributed to everyone on the LSB, which meant everything that was all of their candidate statements and their response to the questions that were on the KPFK website, and if there was something additional on...
No, we're going to have to go a little faster than this.
Okay, well, I'm just...
tell us the process. Just the process.
It's important that people know that the resume that they submitted, plus the information they submitted to the LSB, was all included in a packet that everyone on the board has gotten. And then we... decided to have asked the candidates two or three questions that they should answer the same questions in front of the entire LSB so that they would have the same questions and that they would be substantive questions because we have their backgrounds and so forth in written form, so we didn't have to go through that again. And so the proposal is that the candidates will each address the questions, which I can either read aloud for the for ourselves and for the listener sponsors who are here, or that everyone on the LSB can just read those questions. The person, when they come up, can just address the questions. And that's the proposal. And unfortunately, with the number of candidates which we have, we ended up allocating a very small total of 3.5 minutes for each person to be able to speak, which is not very much. And we tried to make the questions very substantive, as you can see.
Okay, now that is the process. We would hear from the candidates simply. So now let's go to discussion on the process. Leslie?
And if we have a lot of discussion on process, obviously.
Leslie Radford.
Thank you. While I appreciate the consideration that went into this, I do have some serious reservations about this process. First of all, I don't understand why the structure committee undertook to set up this process. It's not in any mandate to the structure committee, nor is it in the description of the structure committee that itself has put forward, which concerns only committees. That said, I want to point out that no LSB member has had to present resumes for any office or committee here, much less have we had information that's been posted on websites dug up and distributed in order to do what? I don't know. These folks were asked to submit resumes. They were not asked to distribute biographical statements or political statements, and yet those were distributed by other people for them. I'm also asking why, in fact, we are asking questions of these people. We didn't ask questions of our chair or our vice chair. We allowed our directors to make individual statements. We didn't grill them. We didn't interrogate them. I could work with a process where each candidate got to make a statement to this organization, but I don't think we should be in the business of interrogating members of the public who are offering to volunteer their services to this body.
Would you make a substitute?
May I respond? We were actually asked, the structure committee was asked to come up with a procedure for these elections, and that's what we did.
All right, and I find that procedure acceptable.
All right, now,
And I would like to also address the question of asking the person questions, because that...
No, I'm going to rule that out of order, because we don't have time for us to debate. I'm going to ask, we're going to consider Jan Goodman having made a concrete proposal. I'm going to ask Leslie if she wants to propose a substitute motion.
I'd like to move that each candidate who so chooses be allowed to make a 3-minute statement of their choice to this committee, and that at the time those statements are finished, that we ballot and elect our permanent secretary and treasurer.
Now, is there a second to that?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. You heard clearly the substitute motion by Leslie Radford. Is there any discussion? Okay, Sonali and then Harrison. I shouldn't have asked that question.
I understand the issue of time, but reading these questions, I do have to say I'm very impressed by the substantive nature of the questions. I think they're good questions, so I encourage all of the board to just take a look at the questions when you decide how to vote.
Okay, and Harrison.
I just want to point out that two people made these three questions and are going to make up all the questions for the board, and I disagree. I think that they are will serve to that they're biased in favor of certain candidates.
Okay, can we? Okay, Grace has not spoken. Grace has the floor.
I'd like to make a substitute motion that we allow each candidate to speak for 3 minutes and to answer questions for 1 minute. And that any LSC member can ask a question. Or two.
Okay. Technically, that is not accepted as part of the original motion. So this is actually, there's a limit to how many amendments can go on a motion, and we've reached it. But yours is acceptable. So I believe that what we will do, is there a second to the substitute motion, a second to that 1 minute of questions? Is there a second to that? It's been moved and seconded. Okay, may we determine whether Grace's substitute motion to Leslie's motion is acceptable to the board. It just adds a minute of questions. That's not much time, but that's what it is. How many are in favor?
No discussion.
Okay, let's go to discussion on Grace's motion. All right, David, go ahead.
I just wonder, why don't we just give these questions to the candidates and let them choose whether they want to answer? We can judge for ourselves. We can give the question to the candidate. The candidate can choose to answer them or not. We can judge what we think of the candidate based on whether or not they answer it.
Okay, then why don't you vote the way, however that's reflected. Okay, the question has been called for. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't see down here. Did you have your hand up?
And so did I.
Okay. Then keep in mind that we can discuss both the substitute motion and Grace Aaron's substitute to the substitute motion. Now, whose hand was up down here? Okay, Marie and then Israel.
I think it's unfair, especially to me, that questions were put forth and I've never had an opportunity to put up a question. So I think that should be voided and give the candidates an opportunity to represent themselves, and we can vote in whether or not we want them on the board.
Okay, and Israel.
I simply want to raise a question which was raised at a previous time again as to the propriety of having someone in either of these offices, especially treasurer, who we have access to privileged information yet not be a member of the board. This is not our fault. It goes back to the bylaw, but I want to point out we should think about what's the real function, responsibility, obligations, privileges, etc., of these things, of these offices. And this, I don't know if the committee considered this or not, but I want to raise this again, which was raised at the previous time.
Okay, I just want to clarify. A non-delegate elected would participate in LSB meetings as an officer, but would not have a vote on the LSB. The question has been called for, and frankly, this is on Grace Aaron's substitute motion. Is there a second to call the question?
Yes.
Those in favor of closing debate on Grace Aaron's substitute, raise your hands. Those opposed to closing debate on Grace Aaron's substitute, raise your hands. Okay, it's closed. Let's go to a vote. Those in favor of Grace Aaron's substitute motion. All right, one moment. All right, there's confusion, so let's go to clarification. Sure enough, go ahead. Well, this is what I was doing. That's exactly what I was doing. Okay, that's exactly what I was doing.
Point of order.
Okay. Those in favor of Grace Aaron's substitute motion, which would add a minute of questions to the statement of 3 minutes that candidates give us. Those who are in favor of adding a minute of questions,
point of order.
Raise your hand. Right, there's a point of order. Let's go to David.
Procedurally, you're asking whether we're going to vote to substitute Grace's motion for the minute motion, and then we would vote on that. Procedurally, that's
yes,
the way it's
that is true. I thought people understood that. This does not eliminate Leslie Radford's motion. It just adds a component to it.
Wait a minute. Now you're saying it's an amendment.
Wait. I don't know why this is.
It should be stated as
Point of order. Point of order, please.
All right.
Technically, a substitute motion must, in fact, negate the initial motion.
Not in this case.
Hers does not negate mine, therefore it must be an amendment to mine.
That is exactly right. This is an amendment. It amends Leslie's original motion that limits it to just a 3-minute statement, but Grace Aaron's amendment will actually add a minute of questions. Is that clear? Those in favor of Grace Aaron's amendment.
No. If those in favor of amending the main motion, we're not voting on Grace's motion yes or no. We are not voting on her motion yes or no. We are voting on whether that will be what we vote on.
Well, David, didn't we call the question? And the question was called for. Therefore, we're going to vote on Grace's...
No.
All right, you state it. Let's state it, David.
It should be stated, those in favor of amending the main motion as according to Grace, say yes. Then we may all want to amend it so we can all vote it down. But if we say, if a majority agrees to amend, we have not approved it yet. We have just said, that's what we're going to vote on.
Well, I thought that's what I was saying.
I didn't hear it that way.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought that's what I was saying. All right, based on what David said, raise your hands if you support that wording.
We're voting to amend the main motion.
Those who do not want to amend the main motion with Grace Harris, raise your hand.
Do you not want
to? Is it up or down?
We're voting the amendment to
Okay, people, this should not be this complicated. Here's what you're voting on. Leslie made a motion that our candidates would just speak for 3 minutes. Grace made an amendment to that would add a minute of questions. If you support Grace's amendment to Leslie's motion...
Can I withdraw my motion?
All right, just a moment. Now, basically, once a motion gets this far, it doesn't belong to the maker. It belongs to the body. But if we want to get unanimous... If we want to get unanimous consent and break the rules and accept her withdrawal, it would be a violation, really, of Robert's rules, but we could do that. All right, those in favor of allowing Grace to withdraw her motion, raise your hand. I'm going to vote on this one.
13, 14, 15, 16.
All right, now we're back to the original motion by Leslie Radford that the candidates simply make 3-minute statements to us of their own choosing. Is there any further discussion?
Yes, I just have a question.
Yes.
So if we vote against the motion, we go back to
go back to yours. Okay. Those in favor of the Leslie Radford motion, raise your hands.
No!
I'm sorry to wake you, Sherna, but no!
No!
Okay, those in favor of Leslie Radford's motion, raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
Begin with the secretary candidates, and I'm going to say that Margot is heads and Terry is tails. This just goes according to order. So I'm going to flip this. Oh, wait. Wherever it stops, it's heads.
Excuse me, I was still going to ask the other candidates to step out of the room.
Yes, I'm doing that at this very moment. I'm doing this at this very moment. Yeah, thank you. Because it's heads, that was Terry, wasn't it? Oh, it's Martin. So Terry is out of the room. I'm pleased to welcome and thank a listener sponsor who's going to serve us, Margot, a 3-minute speech. Go right ahead. And with the timer, begin the 3 minutes now.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. First of all, I just have some really quick questions of who authorized this whole structure thing, which I didn't get in the email or anything like that. Just found out about today. Second of all, why do we have to have candidates leave the room when we speak? That's another question you can answer later. Now, secondly, I have brought agendas from other groups. I also have been recording secretary for other groups, and I also am going to consult and have consulted with recording secretaries, and I want to let you know that the job is to record in a little grid. You can put up there moved, seconded, carried, or not, or tabled, and you do not put in the gossip or anything about who did it. Now, yes, if there is a roll call vote, that is officially part of the record, but the recording therapy is to record the minutes, so therefore all that stuff that got thrown on everybody today would have had to go through the recording secretary. First of all, to be documented exactly as it's stated so that she can repeat or he can repeat back the motion. That's her job or his job. So therefore, all those motions that were done today, table, you know, that it couldn't be done possibly. No brain is that complex. Okay. The third thing I was going to say is something about also the role of this person. There's usually two secretaries. One is the corresponding secretary and one is the recording secretary. So this job might entail sending out announcements or receiving announcements, which could perhaps in the future time be divided if there's no real problem with that, so that that person who's taking the minutes and all that isn't also corresponding. This would include a thank you to the church for, gee, you provided refreshments. How nice. That's usually a job of the corresponding secretary, so there's a possibility of a new job for somebody. I have a little tape recorder here, which I would use to record things exactly so that I could replay them to record them exactly. That's one of the things that has been really hard to deal with. And also, I would definitely study the rules of order to know what is really legitimately the job of the recording secretary and what is not. And I would ask, as I said, other people what they've experienced. I have agendas, as I said, from other meetings that don't that have been like very flexible meetings, and they aren't usually as rigid and as contentious as, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say this, but the job of the recording secretary is to record information, period, and that's it. So I also think that then including things like minority reports in reports automatically is important, because then it's transmitting information. The whole idea is to provide a record of what has gone on at meetings, minority and majority, when it is officially presented as a motion. That there's technical things of how you do that. And as far as working with the agenda, yes, you do not come in there and say, okay, we're going to have, unless everybody's agreed that this is going to be the time we're going to have specific motions. Usually what happens is they say, we're going to talk about these things, and then we'll formulate a motion. And then that's what comes out of that discussion. And then you have the second, unless you're like the Ojai City Council where the staff does everything, and they just go, yeah. And ignore the people. Now, this is what has happened at good meetings, is when after you've discussed, you have the people come in, you get new ideas, and you can make changes in the motions, which is very refreshing and relaxing and really does democracy well. Otherwise, you're like a dictatorship. And so this is what I would appreciate. Being able
just
to
finish your last comment. Okay. Thank you very, very much. The idea of the leaving the room.
We're glad to have you here and glad to be able to support the kinds of things that JPFK and all of us.
after speaking for the board and the whole community at KPFK, thank you for your hospitality. We're honored to be here in your community. Thank you very much. Oh, pass the hat. Yeah, that's right.
Someone here, I pass the hat.
Okay. I would like to bring to the microphone the other candidate for Secretary, Terry Goodman.
Hi there. Why you should vote for me is that I do a good, fair job, as you've seen. Why you should not vote for me is because I will occasionally be late for meetings. And I am totally dependent on the audio record because I don't take good notes and I don't take shorthand. So I'm getting better by practice in the Structure Committee. You might want to consider, because of the workload of the secretary, although the bylaws specify a single secretary, it might be a good idea to have an assistant secretary, and you might want to specify that the next highest vote getter in the election is elected to assistant secretary. I think Margo and I can work together. Either way. I can answer questions.
No questions. Thank you very much.
Chair, a note from the timekeeper.
You know, basically, what we need to do here, David, is your hand up.
We have 4 minutes left in this agenda item. I believe the agenda item includes both elections, so we would probably need to extend the time and have them on.
That is true. I just want to get absolute clarity here. We have both candidates for secretary here. Now, is Lerner Goody present?
I can read the statement for
you. Okay. Casey McFaul is present. And Simon is present.
Simone
is present. Excuse me. Simone is present?
Yes.
Okay. Is there agreement on the board that we move ahead even though one of the candidates is not here? Okay. We'll move ahead.
We have a precedent on that from the original meeting.
Excellent. So there's no, it's not a controversy. So here's what we will do. Let's hear from the other candidates, and then they're separate ballots, but we could vote at the same time. Now, in this case, Casey is heads and Simone is tails. Flip.
Learning the edge.
Heads. Okay. I guess Simone would step out if he would, and Casey should address the board for 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Casey McFaul, and I am here offering my volunteer services as your treasurer. You all have a bio from me, I believe. I was not aware that LSV candidate statements would be distributed, and I'm not sure how they apply, but you may use them as you see fit. My background is that I own a consulting company that works with nonprofit organizations, and we advise them on all types of procedural and procedural items on operating nonprofit organizations. That includes fiscal matters, which includes budgeting, audits, preparation for audits. I'm familiar with all of the nonprofit regulations regarding fiscal management that include OMB regulations, 501c3 regulations that have to do with circular A122, A130, all of the things that differentiate nonprofit budgeting from for-profit budgeting, that kind of stuff. I write fiscal management policies and procedures for a variety of nonprofit organizations, and also help them with responding to questions like about fiscal audits, managerial audits, programmatic audits, all of those kinds of things. That's what I do in my job, and I'm offering you my services. That's it. If you have any questions.
Thank you very much. Welcome and thanks for being here.
for having me come. I will express some consternation with the politicization of this whole process, and I'm kind of disappointed to see that. But, you know, and, you know, the fact that all of the candidates have had to, you know, go through waiting, being put at the end of the agenda, being canceled, and so forth, in order to be able to get to this point. But we're here. So, what I'd like to say is that, you know, I was asked to volunteer for the position of treasurer, and I felt as though I would wish, you know, I wanted to do it because people recognize the fact that I did have the expertise, do have the expertise in order to function in this capacity. As you've seen on my resume, my degree is in finance. I've been a bank examiner for the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency for 16 years, where that's what I do. I evaluate, analyze financial statements, I write reports. And that's what I do. So when I was asked to come forward to serve as treasurer, you know, given the fact that I did have that type of background, I was willing to, you know, go ahead and offer my services to this. It wasn't something that, you know, I actively pursued, but again, it was something that, you know, was requested of me, and I felt like I would go ahead and step forward to provide that service. I will go ahead and take a, you know, basically kind of go over what I would do in terms of how I would see an effective budget process as being. Basically, you know, for budgeting, you know, I would see that, you know, anyone would put together what they expect to be their resources, their income sources, do some projections, project their expenses. And then on an ongoing basis, you know, based upon, you know, the information, historical data that they've had, or any information about, you know, what the fundraising revenues and what have you. At that point, going forward, you would want to do some variance reporting to determine basically your actual performance versus your budget to determine how you're doing in reference to the budget that you outlined. And someone who would be monitoring that would be basically beginning maybe monthly budget variance reports so that they can compare the performance to actual. That's basically that. So.
Thank you. Okay, if you'll do that.
Okay, good afternoon, board. Thank you for
taking your shoes off.
All right, we're way behind time.
Okay. Good afternoon, board. Thank you so much for the opportunity to address you today for the candidacy of Leonard Gould for the treasurer, for the treasurer position. Leonard has a lot of experience, not only in activities to the treasurer, but all around life experiences. Pre-med student, computer programming, the founding member of KZUN Community Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska, and served on the programming board for 2 years, becoming the chair of the board and the de facto program director in 1980. Leonard is an anti-nuclear war activist, a student, a prior student at the People's College of Law, an organizer in Minnesota for the Homeless March on Washington, a treasurer, or the treasurer for the Minneapolis Coalition for the Homeless, and was elected to the Interim Program Council in 2004. For the past year and a half, Lerner has been a member of KPFK's Bylaws Subcommittee, He was a founding member of, again, Lincoln, Nebraska, and he feels that Pacifica is so vitally important because it's a model for a stage, for our station, for democratically listened, sponsored programming. As a member of KPFK Station Board, Lerner will use KVUM's democratic structure as a model to guide KPFK to greater democracy. He feels that we can run KPFK democratically. He's done it before. He can do it again and keep those financial records intact. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just a couple points of clarity. We're actually, of course, electing a treasurer of this board, not of the station, so that there's clarity that we're not electing a station.
That means
the table
is just the finance board.
No.
Well, they're also a member of the finance committee, aren't they?
Natural finance.
The treasurer is the person who is the treasurer for this station area and represents the station area on the
and goes to the
finance, on the national finance.
The national finance. So
$35
to connect it. Yeah, no, that's true.
Point of information. We need.
All right, now.
Point of information.
We just need, because several board members are not exactly clear on the role of the person we're electing. It's a very important role, and not. It just doesn't go to the. Doesn't. It's not the treasurer of KPFK. It's the treasurer of this lab. But David, they would go to the National Board Finance Committee, wouldn't they?
They have a
clear role in the finances of KPFK. Well, reporting and helping to evaluate and reporting to this board.
Oh, but helping, their role is also to help actually put together the budget. It's not merely just hearing what okay. is happening at the station. It's actually working.
Okay. We're just getting some clarity. There's clarity. Yeah. And I'm going to recognize Bill, and then we're going to go to our directors who can also help us. Bill first.
Right. As I understand it, the station has a controller or someone, a full-time person who does and keeps charge of the KPFK books.
Yes.
Right? That's our responsibility. That's mandated. The treasurer, as I understood it, is the treasurer for this body. They're not the treasurer of the station.
No, you.
Well, so that's. I want to be clear on that. I don't think we're asking a volunteer to come up and be the treasurer for the station. That would be.
It's for the station area.
No,
this body. Let's get real.
You know, I'm actually going to go to one of the four. I'd like to go to one of the four national directors. Yeah.
I can read from the bylaws.
All right, please.
Okay, I'm looking at the bylaws here, and it says, I believe in section 3, standing committees. It says, the finance committee, which shall review and recommend the annual budget for board approval and shall monitor and report foundation financial activities at least quarterly and shall include members as members, the chief financial officer, a director from each radio station area, and the treasurers of each LSB. This is standing committees of the Pacifica National Board. So the bylaws specify that they include treasurers of each of the LSBs as part of the National Finance Committee.
I want to call the orders of the day.
All right. We should call orders of the day because we've heard from our candidates, and we really need to go to the voting now.
I think we need listener comment. Do we not?
Okay, one moment. Let me. I just need to have quiet, and I'll call on people. Out of respect to our candidate, Simone Sarda, what is your comment? What is your question?
Just one comment. One of the board members that asked me a question to clarify something on my resume.
No, I'm sorry, we can't do that because it would not be fair to other candidates because we have decided that we are not going to question candidates. You would have to clarify that to the board member off to the side informally. It would violate the process if we asked you a question and you got to respond to it, but other candidates were not able to do so. So that would have to be done away from the process that we're now in. But we appreciate your being with us.
I'd like to move that we extend the time allotted for this item by another 15 minutes.
But orders of the day were called first, and I believe, where are we on time, David?
We're past time.
We're past time. And we only extended for 20 minutes. So,
one thing.
We got the time. I've called for the orders of the day.
Candidates don't care if he can make one.
Okay,
eight.
But we have a process we've accepted. Let's go to David then for any clarity.
Are you asking for clarity on the question about treasure, which is what I wanted to say? But I think first we...
The
orders of the day have been called, so I would like to move that we alter the agenda so that we continue the current agenda item and advance the existing orders by another 15 minutes.
Listen to comments.
You know, we're legally obligated to have 30 minutes of public comment. Let's factor that in. We'd like to do it before we lose.
We don't even have clarity about the role of the treasurer yet. And we're voting.
Okay, I'm just saying that we need to be aware of it. Alright, people. Alright. Jane, let me just do it this way.
Listen to comment.
Okay. We have a motion from David. Is there a second to David?
Before it's been seconded and restated, I'm going to adjust it to 8 minutes.
I'm sorry, David, what did you just say?
I'm going to change it to 8 minutes from 15.
On information.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second to extend? It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion before we go to a vote? Ed? No, what David is asking is to have another 8 minutes to bring total clarity around the role of the treasurer that we're electing. He wants total clarity over the role of the treasurer that we're electing. So if you support this motion, the body is saying they want another 8 minutes on clarity. If you oppose it, you want to go to a vote and then to listener comments. All right, those in favor of extending for 8 minutes, raise your hands.
One, two, three.
Those opposed to extending for 8 minutes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Well,
you guys, it really helps
with
your hair to the head, like, look
at
my hand out there.
Okay, it failed. So, all right, now I'm going to go to Jane, but I just want to give the results of this vote. It fails. We're not extending. We've heard the candidates. We have ballots. And in just a moment, we're going to go to a vote. But chair recognizes Jane Halloran.
I would like to make a motion that that the secretarial job is divided, that whoever is elected secretary, the other person will automatically be the assistant.
We can do that after the vote.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but it's better to do it before, because then you don't know who's winning. It doesn't look biased in who makes the statement. So it doesn't really matter who. So I think we should make the motion before the vote.
Actually, Jane, let me just think this out. It is appropriate in this agenda item, because it deals with this, we actually had voted to not extend this agenda item. Therefore, it would be out of order.
To extend treasurer.
Okay, I'm going to let Jane speak, and then I'm going to try to explain. Jane, you have the floor.
You voted not to extend the treasurer's time. I'm talking to the secretary.
No, we voted not to extend the agenda item where we're electing secretary and treasurer. Because we defeated the extension of this agenda item, the chair is going to rule that we go to a vote.
That's right.
Does everyone have a ballot? This is kind of the honor system, because Terry, being a candidate, has left the room. Does everyone have a ballot who is...
You're supposed to listen to comment before you vote on anything.
Oh, I see. I see the point here.
So
I see the point.
I need to
tables up.
Yeah, really? Okay, okay. What Lawrence is pointing out is that actually the vote is supposed to come after public comment, isn't it? So that the public could give their preferences. So anyone who is voting, let's freeze. I'm going to go to public comment now.
That's point of order.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this meeting ends.
Okay, what time is it now?
4:15.
Yeah, I actually believe anyone who is leaving before the end of public comment should vote. It's not fair to the candidate. It is not fair to the candidate.
Well, it's not fair to the listener. That's violating the law. That's violating the law.
Okay.
And enfranchise one person to disenfranchise everybody else.
Okay. All right. The chair is simply going to make the ruling.
I appeal, Chair.
Don, before you make that ruling, I had raised a question before that you had said I could raise before we go to public comment about this motion, that we would come back to it. Can I raise it now?
Is that the motion that you have there? Well, that would take a vote of the body to alter the agenda. I don't have the power. Well, you'll do that.
Point of order.
But I just want to...
Because we can do it quickly and then we can have public comment and then a vote on it.
Yeah, I know, but we would have to formally alter the agenda, and I'm willing to do that. But I want to make it clear, because I'm not going to move ahead while Lawrence and others feel that we're being unfair. This is the reason I'm ruling that members of the board who have to leave should vote, because I do not think it would be fair. I'm going to actually ask the board to be in order. I'm actually going to do that because if these candidates who came here and spoke to us and expected us to vote in this election, if people leave and break the quorum and do not vote, we will have to actually begin the process over again. I think we have to start the process over again. And I believe in the case of Alan and others who are leaving, we really should respect the idea that we said we were going to vote today. It's unfortunate that they have to be early, but those people, I think, should submit their ballots before they leave, so this election is a valid election.
Isn't that the problem we had on that first... I can't understand...
Okay, Chair recognizes Jane. Go ahead.
That's right.
All right, Jane has the floor. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jane.
Well, then I do make the motion to change the agenda and give it more time.
Yeah.
Are you referring now to Sonali's?
Can't think of more time.
Are you referring to Sonali's request?
You mean Margaret? Margaret, not Sonali.
What am I saying? I'm so fucked up. I'm looking down at this end. All right. Then let's move ahead here. Let's move ahead. At the present time, we're involved in this election. Those who are going to stay will wait until Mr. Comment to vote. Now, Margaret wants a motion, which I believe Jane is making. Is that right?
I don't remember Margaret's motion. It's been 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yes.
And the motion is to move the agenda item on the agenda, which is Margaret. What number is that, Margaret?
11. Number 11.
Number 11.
A short item.
Composition of LSB committees.
A proposal has been passed around, so everybody should have seen it and considered it by now.
Okay, so there's a motion to now move to that agenda item. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Why?
Ed.
Does this mean that we won't vote right now?
We have to
leave with the sound system right now.
Yeah.
I want to vote. I've made up my mind. I have my vote. I want to vote.
Okay. So Is there any other discussion?
I make a motion that we vote on whether or not the people
there's a motion on the
can
floor.
Vote and leave.
No, I am not. I'm not going to entertain another motion. There's a motion on the floor. And the motion is to move Margaret's agenda item to the present. All in favor of moving Margaret's agenda item to the present, raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Those opposed.
No, there were more than that.
All right, there's a protest of the vote, so let's do it again. Those in favor of moving Margaret's agenda item to the present, raise your hands high.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Those opposed.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right, it moves, so let's look at agenda number 11, and Margaret Prescott has the floor.
And I'll be very quick, appreciating everybody's time. In the spirit that was expressed by most members of the LSB at the last meeting, when I raised my concerns about the makeup of the local advisory committees, that LSB members are not tied to limit the number of voting members on the LSB to 5. I'd like to put forward the following motion. All members of the LSB who are ready to serve should be a voting participant on LSB committees. In order to facilitate this process, be it so moved that the number of voting LSB members to LSB committees be increased from the present number of 5 to a maximum of 7 voting members. Not all committees need to have the same number of voting LSB members. Some may have more members than others based on interest. LSB members can volunteer to serve on committees. Voting on whether or not an LSB member can serve on committee should only take place if necessary. That is, if the number of LSB members who want to serve is more than 7. If a vote is needed, LSB members can self-nominate. The vote should be a public vote. Priority should be given to those LSB members who are not now members of any of the local committees. As elected members of the LSB, participation on national committees should not be a substitute for work on the local committees.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there a discussion over what we'll call Margaret's motion? Marie?
I have a question.
Oh, yes.